Welcome back to the LifePoint DraftCast. I'm Chad Grigsby, and I serve as the church planting catalyst at LifePoint. Sunday at the Westerville campus, we continued to look at the Sermon on the Mount from the Gospel of Matthew, and we've been calling this series Kingdom Citizen. And the main idea of this series is only one kingdom can last forever. We looked at the passage where Jesus is teaching on anger and lust. And in one of the passages, verses on lust, he says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Now, this is extreme language. I think sometimes the familiarity of the sermon for us really takes away from the extreme language that Jesus is using here. He literally says, if your eye causes you to sin, then you should take it out. But it begs the question, why are we not all walking around without our eyes in their sockets? All right, what do you do with this teaching if you don't take it literally? What does Jesus really mean? Well, it's a good question. First of all, I think it's important for us to see that Jesus is challenging us to change ourselves. He's challenging us to change ourselves. Often when we think about the things that we want to change in our lives, we look outside of ourselves. In our marriage, we think about all the things that our spouse needs to do differently. With parenting, we think about our kids and all the things we wish they would do differently. Sometimes we even think about our job and how we wish it was different, and our boss and how he would do things differently. So we dream about different opportunities or a change in circumstances. But Jesus is challenging us to think differently about this. He doesn't say, when you struggle with sin, go pluck out your neighbor's eye. No, he doesn't say when your spouse is being a jerk, you can take a hatchet to their leg or their hand or anything like that. No, he doesn't encourage us to lop off limbs of our kids or our boss, but rather ourselves. In other words, if we really want to experience change in our life, in our lives, we should work on changing ourselves. Often we think that our real problems are other people or the circumstances in our lives, and we wish they would change. But what do all of these problems and all of these people have in common? Is it not us? The most powerful thing we can change in our lives is ourselves. We can't control others, and we have limited control of our circumstances at best. But do you know what I can control? Me. And that's a powerful thing. But there's more here. Jesus isn't just calling us to change ourselves and merely change our behaviors. He's also showing us that what's in our hearts determines our behavior. We can only do so much by hacking and plucking, right? We only have two eyes. So you sin twice with those and they're done. And as practical as Jesus' teaching is, he isn't calling us to simply modify our behavior. Although, as we have seen, that's needed, he is asking us to do more. He is asking us to change our hearts. He is saying that just because you haven't committed adultery or murdered someone physically, that doesn't mean you are guiltless. Just because you stop at the physical interpretation of the law doesn't mean you haven't broken the law. Jesus tells us lust is actually adultery and hate is actually murder. It's what's in our heart that really matters. And this is true because our actions find their origins in our hearts. We never do anything without first thinking about it. Recently, we planted an apple tree. My brother-in-law gave us an apple tree to put in our backyard and said in the next 1 to 2 years, we'll have apples on the tree. So we're looking forward to that. And planted in the backyard, it's been neat to see it grow and looking forward to the day that we can pull the apples from the tree and make apple cider and make apple pie and all sorts of wonderful things, or just eat the apples themselves, right? You can do that too. But what if, you know, we get all these apples in our apple tree and we've made every dessert known to man with apples, and we decide, you know what, we'd really like to have something else besides apples. And so we come up with a plan. We're going to go out to our apple tree in our backyard. We're going to pick all the apples off the tree. We're not going to leave one fruit remaining on the tree. We'll just pick all the apples, and at the end, we'll wait in anticipation for the new fruit to grow. And we really wish that that fruit would be oranges. What do you think is going to happen? Right? We're just going to get more apples, aren't we? Why? Because it's an apple tree. It's the only fruit that an apple tree knows how to produce and can produce according to its DNA, according to who it is, what it is. It's an apple tree. Can only produce apples. So if we want something other than apples, what are we going to have to plant? We're going to plant a new tree. We're going to uproot the apple tree and plant something else entirely in its place. I think this is what Jesus is telling us to do. Look, it's at the root of the fruit that really matters. You can go about picking fruit in your life, trying to change behavior, plucking out your eyes, but eventually you're going to have to deal with the root. You're going to have to deal with the thing that is actually under the thing. And so that's what Jesus is calling us to. Father, thank you so much that you have given us this great sermon by Jesus. Thank you that you show us what it's like to really love our neighbor and ourselves. Help us to focus our efforts on changing ourselves and changing what we can control in our lives. Help us not just to focus, though, on the fruit of our lives, but the root as well. Reveal to us the thing that is under the thing. And why don't you take a minute and ask the Lord to show you if there's anything you need to cut out from your life and what he wants you to change about you, and what is the thing that's really underneath that behavior. Well, thanks again for checking out the Drivecast today. Come back tomorrow for more episodes. God bless.